The following is a community affairs presentation from the Ulster County Health Department. This is the Healthy Ulster Radio Show, a weekly presentation exploring community health and sustainability with guests representing a broad spectrum of community partners working to make Ulster County the healthiest in New York State. This program is sponsored by the Health Alliance of the Hudson Valley in Kingston, a member of the WMC Health Network.
Good morning. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. My name is Vincent Martello. I'm Director of Community Health Relations for the Ulster County Department of Health and Mental Health. And today, we're going to be learning about Sun River Health, which is formerly known as Hudson River Healthcare and Brightpoint, both of which have merged, and they have multiple health centers and clinics in Hudson Valley, in New York City, out on Long Island. And our guest is Dr. Anita Softness. She is a board-certified family physician, born and raised outside New York City, and she's been in practice for 20 years. She moved up to Kingston just over a year ago and previously practiced at New York Presbyterian Hospital in Washington Heights, New York City. Anita's family also moved up to Kingston as her son is an organic vegetable farmer, and they hope to start a family farm in Saugerties next year. We want to hear about that. And before becoming a doctor, she worked as a community organizer in the southwestern region of the country. So welcome, Dr. Softness. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for having me on your show.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Dr. Softness, I'm just curious. You worked as a community organizer in the Southwest. How did your life's journey take you to becoming a doctor? Was that something that you had always wanted to do, or was it an evolution?
Yeah, so I'd always wanted to be a doctor since I was a little girl. And when I got into college, I just got more interested in political work and doing work in communities, and I got less interested in science. So I ended up doing community organizing work for about 10 years. But all along, I still kept that interest in medicine, and I kind of realized how many people in the neighborhoods I was working in had health issues and difficulties accessing health care. They were mostly lower income communities. So I thought, I'm going to go to medical school I always wanted to do medicine and community work kind of together.
Right. I mean, it's kind of somewhat parallel to our work in the public health field, where we work on population health. And we, of course, we find the greatest health disparities in low-income neighborhoods. I mean, across the board, from, you know, all manner of chronic diseases to addiction to behavioral health issues. So a federally qualified health clinic, which Sun River is a very special model. Can you explain to our listeners what that model is and how it connects to communities in need of additional healthcare?
Sure. So a federally qualified health center is a health center that is created to care for uninsured or underinsured patients. So we have various programs in place to assist patients with getting medications if they're uninsured, getting some services that are usually fairly expensive. We have a patient navigator who helps patients who are uninsured try to find access to specialists who might have lower charges. So we're pretty much set up to assist patients who are underinsured, uninsured, and lower income try to get access to health care. And we're really committed as best we can to making sure they get quality health care, you know, within the limits of our healthcare system, which isn't really set up, as you know, for patients who are uninsured.
Uh-huh. And so what makes it federally qualified? What is that designation?
Well, I don't actually understand all the funding, but we have various grants in place that are government grants that help us with certain programs. So Kingston is the newest site of Sun River and Hudson River Healthcare. So we are still don't have the variety of programs that the other sites do, but the other sites offer, depending on the site, dental care, podiatry, optometry. They have a mobile van for farm workers. We do special programs in some of the sites with low-cost contraception and STI testing. So there are various grants that support the services. Here in Kingston, as I said, we're new and we're pretty young. So we have, you know, we're family practice providers. So we take care of all patients of all ages, from infants to senior citizens. We provide contraception, prenatal care, women's health care. But we don't have the extra services that they would access in other sites, such as Poughkeepsie.
And is the plan to bring those other services up to Kingston?
Yeah, eventually? I think the plan is to bring those services here. We just have to grow a bit because we're so new. You know, we unfortunately opened up right in the early winter when COVID hit. So we didn't, it was hard to, you know, it was hard to build a practice when everything was shut down. So but we're open and we're trying to let patients know we're here. And we do really want to serve, you know, lower income and uninsured patients. We take all patients, all insurance, and so we're happy to have insured patients as well. But I'm not sure a lot of people know we're here. We have a lot of staff who speak Spanish. A couple of our providers speak Spanish. So we're really hoping to get patients to find out about us. And then eventually we would offer more of these services. We'd love to have a dentist. We'd love to have, you know, podiatry, optometry, but we have to get enough patients to support them first.
And one area that I work very much in is opioid prevention for the community. I'm director of opioid prevention strategy. And I read in the notes that you plan to offer medication-assisted treatment at some point?
We're pretty close. So we have two attending physicians, myself, and we just hired another physician who came. Actually, I worked with in New York City, so we've been working together for a while. We're both registered to provide. That's called medication-assisted therapy, MAT. So we can do that. We just have to get our nurse trained. And we just have to work out a few of the details. But I think we're pretty close. In the next couple of weeks, we're going to be able to start seeing patients with struggling with opioid addiction and treat them with medical treatment.
That's great, because it is a chronic disease. A lot of people don't understand that, and they think it's some kind of moral failing or some personality, you know, deficiency or what have you. But it really is a chronic disease, and it deserves to be treated as such with dignity and respect. So it's so great to hear that that you'll be offering that service.
Right, and we have, you know, it has an effective treatment with Suboxone. So so we're looking forward to providing that service, I think, in the next couple of weeks. We're getting close.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, we just, you know, we're, as I said, we're new. We just got a new nurse trained. We're building our staff. We have, you know, both of Dr. Eisenberg and myself, we're both certified to prescribe Suboxone. So
great.
Well, that'll be, we're looking forward to providing that service. We have a case manager who actually is right now in Kingston to help us get that going.
That's really terrific. That's really great to hear, because there are not enough of those services around. I mean, we've gotten more on board, but still there's a lot of work to be done. And so if a family doesn't have insurance, what happens then? Is it some kind of a sliding scale?
They have a sliding scale. I don't actually know all the details, but the price, I think, for most patients for a visit is about $16 whether they're seeing a physician here or whether we sometimes send them to Poughkeepsie, you know, if they need to see the optometrist or the podiatrist. And there's a scale, but I think most patients qualify for the $16 fee. I have that chart somewhere, but if they make a little bit more money, then it goes up a little bit more. And then of course we just have to struggle sometimes with getting them to specialists if they need a specialist, because we're a primary care physician. So we could do a lot, but we still try to have to see a cardiologist or an endocrinologist, then we try to work, you know, we try to work with the physicians in the area to get our patients in, but that's still a struggle.
Right. And the bottom line is no one gets turned away, right?
No one gets turned away from our site. Unfortunately, if we send them for specialists, we can't control that. But, you know, family physicians can do a lot for patients. So we try to take care of everything we can right here. You know, all ages, all genders, all problems. And we have support, you know, with behavioral health specialists that we can access by telehealth. And we have a nutritionist on telehealth and a diabetes educator on telehealth. So even though they're not in Kingston, our patients can access those services over the phone.
Well, that's terrific. I mean, that's kind of been the silver lining of the COVID pandemic, if there is one, is that the expansion of telehealth services.
Exactly.
Really, especially in areas where, you know, there's a deficiency of services. That's really terrific, really wonderful. And it says also that you Sun River Health is also a family medicine residency program. So you have something like 16 young doctors at your site?
Yeah. So we have a family medicine residency program that's affiliated with HealthQuest, which is mm-hmm. now called Nuvance. Mm-hmm. And so we are the outpatient ambulatory care site that the residents work at. So we have the residency program started a year ago. So we have first-year residents and second-year residents, 16 in total, 9 in one class and 7 in the next. And next year, we'll be getting our third class. And so we'll be fully staffed with three classes of young physicians. They're all graduated from medical school. They're all training to become family doctors. So they work in the hospital for, you know, a chunk of their time, but they come here, you know, once or twice or three times a week, depending on their rotation, and they learn how to take care of patients in the outpatient setting. So they're great. They're young, they're enthusiastic. They really enjoy this work. And we, of course, like to teach them. So I think it's a great place for patients to get seen because we really care about medical education and, you know, trying to do a really good job with the patient and the residents.
That's great. And it's wonderful to, I think, to work with people at the beginning of their careers when they're really energized and really passionate,
right.
You know?
Right, right. That's
really great. Well, we're going to take a short break. We want to learn a lot more about services and your involvement. First, we're going to take a very short break. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. We'll be back after these words.
At WMC Health, we know emergencies don't wait, and neither should our patients. That's why we pledge to see you within 30 minutes or less. At Health Alliance on Broadway in Kingston, and at Margaretville Hospital on Route 28 in Margaretville. Our emergency departments offer safe and protective environments and are backed by the full services of our WMC Health Network hospitals. Right there if you need more care. If you have an emergency, please call 911 or go to the emergency room closest to you.
Welcome back. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. Our guest is Dr. Anita Softness. She's a physician with Sun River Health here in Kingston. And Dr. Softness, before the break, we were talking about that your family physicians and your residents. And one thing that interested me was the fact that your doctors handle a lot of different aspects of health and different age groups, different genders. So it seems to be a pretty comprehensive family care model. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. So family physicians are trained to care for the entire family. So one family physician can see everyone in the family, from kids, you know, to young people, to adults and senior citizens. And we take care of women's health care. So when a woman becomes pregnant, they don't need to leave the practice. They can stay here during their pregnancy. We take care of the baby after it's born. So it's a really nice comprehensive model where you can keep a patient, you know, throughout their entire lifespan. So when a patient comes in for an appointment, we can see the patient and their kids or parents, and we can keep them as they get older. And the other thing about family medicine is we work on what we call the biopsychosocial model. So we try to pay attention to the entire patient. And if they're, you know, we pay attention to their mental health as well as their physical health. We try to pay attention to just their maybe stressors in their community in terms of their access to safe housing and, you know, basic services. We can't help with everything, but we do try to think about, you know, health as a whole and not just as a organ disease system.
Mm-hmm. And it's so interesting that you say that, because in the public health world, you know, so much of public health in previous times was focused on changing an individual's behavior. It's, you know, eat better, exercise more, don't smoke, et cetera, et cetera. But we've come to learn over the years that you can't take an individual or a family out of the total context in which they live their lives and expect them to do better. Because, you know, you could say to a family, well, you need to eat healthier food. And they might say, well, gee, you know, there's no supermarket in our neighborhood. And by the way, we don't really have a car. And by the way, our home environment isn't, you know, stable. So we have no place to really cook a family meal. Or, you know, you could tell a single mom that she has to get preventative screenings or well child checkups. And she might say, well, great, I don't have a car to get there. I don't have childcare. So you really have to take into account all of those things. So it's great that, you know, that you've recognized that in your practice. That's really terrific.
Yeah, well, family medicine always includes, you know, in an educational setting, community medicine. So we really try to, you know, we're new here and we're young, but we hope to, you know, establish a community medicine curriculum for the residents so they'll learn about the communities where patients come from and the, you know, the just what the challenges are for patients in the community with transportation, with housing, with access to healthy food. So we try to get them to look at the patient beyond the exam room and try to figure out, you know, is there a reason this patient is not taking their medication? Is there a reason this patient is not able to follow the type of diet we want? And it's not really the patient's fault. Usually it's a lot of it is the environment that the patient is dealing with. So we understand that it's not always easy to fix, but you know, the social determinants of health are an important part of our training. So we try to get our doctors to think about the fact is a lot of things are, you know, there are a lot of reasons that limit patients' ability to have a healthy lifestyle that's beyond their control.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And as I said earlier at the beginning of the program, you know, we see across the board in all the statistics on various health conditions and health outcomes that in households where the income levels drop below $25,000 a year, the chronic diseases and the health outcomes just, you know, poor health outcomes just skyrocket. And so it's really great that you've recognized that as a practice, but are also teaching that to young doctors who are right. Coming up. That's really terrific. And I'm also curious that I know, like when I go to my family doctor, you know, and he's really terrific. But sometimes I wonder, you know, I go to him and then he refers me out to this person or that person. And in some cases, you know, you want to go to a specialist because they have, you know, deeper expertise and or experience, let's say, in a particular area. But I always wonder, is there a downside to that fragmentation? You know, does the information really get communicated well so that my doctor really understands? Because very often he sees me for, if I'm lucky, all of about 5 to 10 minutes, you know, yeah, it's just like right. It's in and out, you know, and yeah. How can one person just understand the complete picture of a person's health by just reading notes, you know, versus really having an understanding of that person's family, and over time as well.
Yeah, no, that is a challenge. You know, all family doctors really feel limited when the visit duration is short because we can't do our job well, obviously in 10 or even 15 minutes, but we're up against this health system that, you know, requires us to see a large number to stay afloat. So it is a real frustration for us.
Right. And I'm sure insurances make it, you know, even more difficult, right? Because you have to, you know, there are limitations and conditions that are placed on doctors. You know, you read a lot in the news or, you know, and I read in my professional readings about, you know, the pressures on family physicians. And do you think that that young medical students, are gravitating back to family practice more, or do you see them mostly going to specialties?
Yeah, I think it really depends. So I worked in a residency program when I was at New York Presbyterian, kind of a similar type of role that I have here. It's what I like best. And, you know, unfortunately, when I was at, so the residency I was at was part of Columbia University. So in that kind of, you know, we call that a tertiary care academic center, it's really hard to get students coming from that setting to do primary care because it's a subspecialty type setting. So so I think it really does depend. So we were not all that successful getting the Columbia students to go into family medicine out of the class of 165. We would get anywhere from 3 to 5 a year, you know, not a whole lot. But there are other medical schools in different parts of the country that do a whole lot better in getting their students to go into family medicine. So I think it's really varied, you know, rural settings graduate more family doctors, certain parts of the country, the Northwest, the West, the Midwest have a longer tradition of family medicine. The Northeast is not the most family medicine friendly part of the country because we have so many specialists and subspecialists and patients do get used to that kind of access to specialty care.
Right. I mean, I would imagine that, I mean, and, you know, this is anecdotal, but I would imagine that there are people like me, for instance. If I were to go into that field, I think I'd want to work in a community and be a family doctor where there's more personal interaction and a little bit more in-depth interaction with patients. To me, it seems like that's what the essence of what medicine is really about, you know, and being part of a community and being integrated in a community and really helping. I mean, I know there are financial pressures because medical school is very expensive, but it seems to me there's an attraction for a certain type of personality to want to do family medicine.
Yeah, I think family doctors tend to have that kind of interest in the family and the person and not as much interest in technology in terms of how to treat patients. So it just depends on the personality of the individual and the sort of the sort of practice they want to have. But I do think in this day and age, it's subspecialists. It's just, they recruit more medical students. You know, the pay is so much better. The hours can be a little bit better. So it's just it's a different sort of choice that some students make.
Right. So in the notes, we talked about your family having moved up to Kingston, your son becoming an organic vegetable farmer now and wanting to start a family farm in Socrates. So is that a vocation or did it something that he started doing on the side and fell in love with it? How did that happen?
Oh, my son?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm not quite sure how it happened. it's not anything that, we didn't grow up on a farm. He, like a lot of young people these days, he's just really worried about the environment and global warming and the fact that, the world is not doing too well. So I think he was just looking for some way he felt he could do something that was a little bit more positive in terms of the outside world. Mm-hmm. So he graduated from college with a degree in English, not any farming background. And he did some work for the Sierra Club and then got a job on a farm and decided he just thought that made sense. That was one way he felt he could do something positive in his life. So he chose it that way. And that's how it started. He's young, he's 26. So he has been doing this very long.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a great thing.
Hudson Valley has had a program that he joined in, called Glenwood Foundation that trains young farmers.
That's really great. I know the Farm Hub down in Hurley does that too. I was a former town supervisor in Marbletown, and my deputy supervisor at the time, she is now director of the Farm Hub, which is funded by the New World Foundation, I believe it is, where they took a big previously owned family farm and now they're teaching available to young farmers. And it's so important. I mean, agriculture is
part of that.
Agriculture is the second largest industry in Ulster County. And, and there's so many niche farms and when we talk about health, overall health, family health, community health, eating fresh, nutritious local food is really a big plus. So we are running out of time. Dr. Softness, tell us where Sun River is located here in Kingston and how folks can make an appointment.
Okay, great. So I always have to look up the address. So we are 1240 Ulster Avenue. That is actually in the old Macy's, if people know where the Kingston Mall is.
Hudson Valley Mall,
Thank you, Hudson Valley Mall. As you know, I didn't grow up here, so I've only seen it as Sun River Health. So we're in that Macy's building. The sign on the door says Health Quest. Mm-hmm. And it's a Health Quest facility. So if people walk in the door, they're sometimes a little confused. But Sun River, our offices are in the back of the building, just down the hall of the Health Quest building in Macy's. And they can call to make an appointment. We have our front desk staff speak Spanish. There's also a call center. I believe they can do it online as well. And at this point, because we're new and we have a bunch of residents, we have pretty good availability. So patients can be seen usually the same week that they call.
And there's a website too that people can get the information and phone number from.
Right. Yeah. Sunriver.org.
That's really terrific. Well, that's about all the time we have for today. Thank you so much, Dr. Softness.
Okay. Thank you.
Welcome to the Kingston area, and thank you for the all the work, great work that you and your colleagues do in training young doctors and for caring for community members of our community most in need. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. Tune in next week for more great information that you can use to keep yourself, your family, and our community healthy and strong. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Healthy Ulster Radio Show, a community affairs presentation from the Ulster County Health Department, sponsored by Health Alliance of the Hudson Valley in Kingston, a member of the WMC Health Network. Thanks for listening, and be sure to join us for another edition of the Healthy Ulster Radio Show next week.